When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Well, hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. My name is Kate Spencer.
And I am Dori Shafrir.
And look, we are lovingly not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And if you want to find anything that we discuss on our show, you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, where we link out. We are occasionally tweeting over at Forever 35 Pod and
I would
gramming.
Say very, very occasionally.
We basically are never on Twitter, but if you want to at us, we would probably see it.
Yes, yes.
But on the gram, we're buzzing.
We're buzzing on the gram.
We're buzzing like bees over on the Instagram at Forever 35 Podcast. And then, of course, there is a wonderful Facebook community, which you can find online, where the password is serums.
Indeed. You can also sign up for our newsletter, forever35podcast.com/newsletter. The next issue will go out next week. You can also buy a classified ad in the newsletter. I've really been enjoying the classified ads that we've been running, by the way, because it's just
so
like
many
such
small
a
small businesses.
So many fun small businesses that are Forever 35 listeners. Cause like you would That's kind so of cool. only know about the classifieds if you listen to our show or you subscribe to our newsletter. So that is just like, I just love that. I don't know. It feels very like community-ish. And if you do subscribe to the newsletter and you see the classifieds, click on those links because you will be supporting a Forever 35 related business.
I think that's really cool.
I do too. You can also call or text us at 781-591-0390, and you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. And now, Kate.
Yes.
Let's talk about what's going on with you.
You know, I'm struggling. I'm struggling, and then what I'm doing is I'm making myself feel bad for feeling bad.
Yes.
Do you understand? We've had.
Yes.
And as I talk right now, one of the hard parts about doing this podcast, which they're not many, this is a luxurious thing to get to do, but occasionally people will offer feedback on how we speak and the word choices we make. Sometimes they're really helpful. And other times it's like, please stop saying, does that make sense? Because it sounds like you're, you know, disqualifying what you're saying. And I'm like, I can't, I really am trying to confirm if stuff makes sense. Okay. So just note, I'm in this space right now where everything is bugging me. You know, okay. So I broke my hand less than 2 weeks ago. And in that, someone we saw last night was, it might have been Elizabeth Holmes, or I saw someone and they were like, I was listening to your episode and you were so excited about going off into the woods. And it was like, I knew that you were going to break your hand and it was really sad.
Oh,
I was like, oh God.
Oh, that is so sad.
You know, I broke my hand really badly and I've had surgery. You know, and this has all kind of happened in 2 weeks of like breaking my hand, figuring out how to treat it, driving around Los Angeles, finding a surgeon, then immediately getting surgery because it was really bad. Mm-hmm. And now then recovering from the surgery. And now I've started physical therapy. And meanwhile, you know, it's still really hard to do much with my hand. And then, you know, there's a slew of other things going on in my life that's just kind of been hectic. And like this year has just, it's really worn me down. And it's also, I think, Dory, I'm struggling with the fact that, like, to be honest, I'm kind of down in the dumps.
Yeah.
I'm feeling really overwhelmed. And then I find myself doing the thing where it's like, well, it could always be worse. I didn't break both my hands, or I didn't break other this, or I can still have a hand. You know, I think I do that, one, because I am trying to reflect and try to, like,
yeah,
think positively, but also two, because I think I'm very self-conscious about complaining. I think I was raised not to complain. And I feel like this is a thing we put on kids. I think I've done it to my kids, when actually, like, I think I'm just trying to express that I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
But it's very, like, I do believe there is just generations upon generations of especially women who have been, it's been ingrained in us that complaining is bad. It makes us look bad.
Yeah.
We look like we don't appreciate what we have, or, the, you know, and I gotta be honest, like, this is hard. I'm kind of depressed, and it's a struggle. And again, I am blessed like 10 times over. I've had friends bringing food. I've had gift cards. You know, my kids can carry things. But it's still hard.
It's still hard. And, you know, I think you raise a really good point that, like, so many of us have been conditioned not to complain. And the other side of the complaining coin was, like, we were kind of told not to brag.
Oh, completely.
So, like, not only were you not supposed to, like, talk about if you were feeling bad, you also weren't supposed to, like talk about your accomplishments. You know what I mean?
Completely.
Like, there's like this very narrow lane of things that are, like, okay to talk about.
Yes. I mean, that's so true. I struggle with that immensely. Anytime anyone's like, wow, you wrote a book, I'm like, it was not a big deal.
Right.
I immediately put myself down when I could just be like, oh, it was hard and I'm proud of myself. Yeah. This permeates so many aspects of how we treat ourselves and communicate and present ourselves. And it's a mess. It's not great.
Yeah. I always think about the episode we did with Meredith Feinman, who wrote Brag Better.
Yeah.
Because what she pointed out about how people have to, like, put themselves down before they talk about an accomplishment in a self-deprecating way, like, what a habit that is. And I was like, oh, wow, I've been called out, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just listening to an interview with Kristen Stewart, who you may know that I love, and I just saw her movie Spencer, and I was really impressed by how she was very upfront about the fact that, like, she was excited about the praise she was getting for her performance, and that, like, excited to be in amongst the Oscar buzz conversation, and yes, I like that. And that was, and there was no qualifying commentary. And I thought that was really cool. Now, again, notice that what I'm now saying I liked about what Kristen Stewart said is what people have tried to offer in the feedback about how I speak, and asking, does this make sense? Or does that make sense? So it's all a fucking nightmare. But I did appreciate the way that she was talking. And I will say, I did love that movie. You need to go into it knowing it's like, trigger warning, there's self-harm and eating disorder and psychological stuff, but it's very good, just on an aside.
I'm excited to see it.
Dory, can I throw something out before we transition into talking about one of my favorite body parts?
Oh, sure.
I'm going to circle back and go through and listen to old episodes of our show. But if anyone has, like, the best scar treatment products. What is it?
Kate.
Yes.
I've talked about this.
Okay. Can you joggle my brain? Because I have to start doing my, like, scar oiling next week, and I need to, like, load up. And I know vitamin E is, like, the one I've been told, but what else?
Scar sheets. That's what you need.
Ooh, Googling. Okay.
I think I can't remember. Did I use this brand Scar Away? I'm trying to find what I actually used. So on my C-section scar.
You know, I did nothing on my C-section scar. I was just like a babe. I didn't know what was up and what was down. Oh, look at this. You know, oh, there's tons of scar away. Okay, there's tons of scars.
Yeah, it looks like the ones that I specifically bought are not being made anymore. But the same idea. I used a silicone scar removal sheet, which are made by a few different companies. So I would get some of those.
Okay, great. Thank you for that recommendation, Dory.
And I don't know if it was my doctor's skill or the scar sheets, but my C-section scar is it's very light.
I mean, I would like that for my hand scar because it's like a 3-inch scar down my hand. I mean, it also looks pretty badass.
But yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. So that is my recommendation for you.
Thank you. And I will happily entertain any others. So hit me up.
All right. You all heard it here first. Hit Kate up.
All right. Now, Dory, I feel like you have a more positive spin on things today because you have healed yourself.
Remember how I said I thought that my night terrors were because I was reading like intense like mystery or crime books before bed?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what can I read before bed that is just going to be like calming, but like page turny? I wanted page turning, but not scary. So I was like, I know, I'll read some romance. So I read The Unhoneymooners.
Oh, no way.
Which was delightful.
Oh, man. Those two, they just, Christina and Lauren, just, they know how to nail it.
They really do. Although, you know what? I could have used more sex.
I know. Well, but have you read any of their other books?
So I read The Unhoneymooners, which was delightful, but again, like, could have used a little more sex. And now I'm reading my favorite Half Night Stand.
So I like owe everything in my life to Lauren and Christina because they introduced me to my literary agent, Holly.
And
they are just amazing humans and I'm obsessed with all their books. And I will say Unhoneymooners doesn't have as much sex as other of their books. So if you want some steering towards some sex books of theirs, I'm happy to deliver.
My favorite Half Night Stand has sex within the first like 20 pages.
Yes, as they should.
I know, but like not very explicit sex.
Do you want some, like, what are you looking for here? Anal? You know, what do we want to do?
Did you just say anal?
I did.
No, I mean, I don't need anal. I think, you know what I'm actually realizing is that a lot of the historical romances that I've read have like a lot of very pretty graphic sex. And so that's like what I've gotten used to.
So my thought on Christina and Lauren books is that some of their earlier books have a bit more sex scenes. Although I found that The Soulmate Equation, their most recent book, which I just loved, is pretty hot and heavy.
Okay. All right. I'll check it out.
But I mean, their Wild Seasons series. I mean, I literally, chills just ran through my body as I.
Wow. Okay. Oh, man. All right.
I mean, they are just the best. They are just the best. Their books are the best. I'm so happy you're reading them. I mean, that to me is like the ultimate relief for nighttime reading. I mean, literally the ultimate relief.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good change for you.
I haven't had a night terror since I switched to romance.
Romance has cured you?
Romance has cured me.
I mean, my favorite genre. You have no idea how much joy that brings me, honestly, because I love romance. So I'm so passionate about it. And I just love so many of these books and I just, makes me happy. I'm reading a book that's not out yet. I'm going to be blurbing and I'm really enjoying it.
Oh.
Just a spoiler alert. The author is Bridget Morrissey and I read her other book, Love Scenes, and I loved that. So, and I am very lucky to get a preview of her upcoming book and I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
So there's a rec for another book you could also, I mean, there are so many good books out there, Dory.
There are a lot of good books.
Goodbye, Cozy Mysteries. Hello, Cozy Romances.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well,
Speaking, we of have good a books, really.
Sorry, what?
I said, speaking of good books.
Yes. I was going to say, our guest today has a new book out, just came out yesterday, that is wonderful. It is not a novel. It is poetry, because our guest today is Kate Bayer.
What a treat. I've been following Kate online for a long time, and this was a real dream come true. Kate's an author and a poet, and you may know her first book, What Kind of Woman, which was a instant New York Times bestseller. And her newest book is called I Hope This Finds You Well. It just came out. Her work has been published in The New Yorker, Literary Hub, and The New York Times. And you almost certainly follow her on Instagram, where you can also see a lot of her work. And she's just an amazing writer who really captures, I don't know, I feel like every time I read her work, I'm like, that's how my insides feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very excited to get to talk to her.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
We're so excited to have Kate on the podcast today. Kate, thank you for joining us.
I am thrilled. This is a Yay. Dream. I love this podcast. I love its vibe, and I'm so happy to be here. I'm so excited.
We love your vibe.
Yeah.
So it's mutual.
It is very mutual. This is a dream come true, quite frankly.
Same. It's mutual. It's wonderful. I'm so happy.
And also, we should say, before we get into the conversation, you know, we, Dory and I helped to originally produce the podcast She Thanks Just Bought It. And you are responsible for one of like the top ever products featured on that show, the Garden Witch overalls, which I own because of that.
Do you yes. feel like a garden witch when you wear them?
I love them.
Yeah, same. Oh my gosh, Caroline, she is moderating one of my events coming up, and I feel like we are just going to giggle the whole time. Like, for a bookstore, and we're just going to, like, totally goof around the whole time and be so dumb, but I can't help it. She brings it out.
It'll be great. Thank you for those overalls, because they are life-changing.
100%.
And very affordable.
So life-changing. It's so affordable. Sometimes you have to buy multiple pairs because they fall apart.
That's fair.
Which is its own issue. But I'm so glad you enjoyed them.
Well, we always kick off the show asking our guests about a self-care practice that they have in their own lives. So do you have something you could share with us that you do on a regular basis?
Oh my gosh. Self-care. Man, that is such a, when you say self-care, I just start thinking about like creams. I just picture myself like loading my face with creams if I was doing this right. And I have none of that. So I'm trying to think of what I actually do. I think my self-care is like, no matter what time I get home from something or how much I have going on before bed, I drink like a huge cup of ice water. This is so lame.
And, this is not lame. You need to not, you can't call this lame. Go on.
There's no special product. It's just water. But I try to drink a ton of water before bed, which is problematic, but I feel like I just sit and have a minute of like drinking water and like usually watching something, even though I absolutely shouldn't. And I should quick answer some emails and I should go do a bunch of things and think about tomorrow. I drink my giant tub of water. I have this big Bubba mug of water, and that's what I do for myself before bed.
Oh, I think my husband had the Bubba mug.
It's really cool. It's pretty cool.
Can I ask a question about how this impacts peeing throughout the night? I'm a big water drinker, but I have to... Yeah, are you up all night peeing? Or at least once?
I'm not up all night, but at 4 a.m., it's like I have 30 seconds to get out of bed and make it to the bathroom before I pee my pants. It is urgent, I will say. If you eat enough other things with your water, like pretzels, it does help absorb it in your stomach. Fair. But there's my tip. There's my health tip, is that you should also eat a salty snack before bed to absorb the water. So follow me for more tips.
Well, I actually think that is a great tip. And water is accessible for many of us. So
super accessible. Yes, you're welcome.
So, Kate, you are, this episode is coming out, I believe, the day after your new book, I Hope This Finds You Well, a book of poems comes out. So, I think we would love to kind of get started by learning about your background as a writer. How did you begin writing? And then how did poetry really become your medium of choice?
I mean, I've always been a writer, and that, you know, I was always writing really sad poems like seventh grade, and then writing some really bad stories, you know, in high school. And you know, took a poetry class in college and totally thought, like, I'm writing, you know, the greatest work of our time. It, you know, of course, it was not a lot of really sad romance poetry happened during those years. So I was kind of always writing. But, you know, I don't know if you guys had this, have this experience. I don't know what, if you have a degree in English, which, I do. I had all sorts of jobs after college that had nothing to do with English. And that's basically what I did, until I had kids, was just have these like really random jobs, because that's what you can get with an English degree. And all the while I definitely kept writing, but, I didn't use it for actual paid work until recently.
And then you wrote your first book mostly in a Panera.
Yeah. People love to hear about Panera. So happy to sing the praises of Panera. Panera bread. Shout out to Panera.
I mean,
for letting
they have a great
there.
Great bread bowl situations at Panera.
They have a great bread bowl situation. They also have a great Wi-Fi situation.
There we go.
And a comfy booth where you can like be comfortable and like put your feet up. You know, I had a special like place where I sat. It was a plug, not, you know, outlet and Wi-Fi. So that's what I needed. By the end of my time working there, we moved 6 months ago. By the end of my time working there, I was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that I packed and like string cheese from like under the booth. I would like sneak it with my hand into my mouth because I couldn't take another bite of Panera. I would like get a drink to like pay for my Wi-Fi, but I could not take another bite, to be honest. And no, this is no shade to Panera, but anytime you would eat at a restaurant like that, after a while, I will never take another bite of their food. And again, nothing against them. Thank you for the office space for 5+ years, but I cannot eat another bread bowl. Would throw up. I absolutely would. But yeah, I wrote What Kind of Woman in Panera, and I wrote, I hope this finds you well, in the Panera parking lot, because it was COVID and we couldn't go inside, and I still didn't have an office and I was homeschooling my kids. And so I would park in the parking lot, prop my laptop up on my steering wheel, and then turn the car off and on to use the heat. And I would like type with my hands, you know, kind of up, to use the Wi-Fi. And one of the friends I made there who actually works at Panera, she would see me out there and she would mouth, "Are you stalking me?" Like joking, like, "What are you doing?" It's like, "Hey, thanks for letting me work here." Anyway, so shout out to Panera because I got two books written using their Wi-Fi.
What did your days look like when you were working on I Hope This Finds You Well? I mean, you said you were homeschooling your kids. And then you're driving to the Panera.
Not as a choice. I wasn't choosing.
Right. No, of course.
Pandemic homeschooling.
We were in a pandemic. Yes. So
yeah,
I'm just
totally.
I'm curious just like how you made this all sort of work.
Yeah, touch and go for sure. Trying to do both at the same time. Eventually I could have childcare back inside my house. We were just super careful. And so that's when I would go to the parking lot. The kids were not in the car with me at the parking lot, just to be clear. That was when I had childcare. So, yeah, it was difficult, but there were so many people in these kind of difficult situations, obviously much more difficult than that, during COVID, that I just felt grateful that I could at least go somewhere, even if it was just in my van, that I could at least keep working.
I also love that you talk about this because I do feel like with writing, you know, and I get this way as a writer, but it's like, I think people think you have to be like at a big wooden desk in complete silence with like the birds chirping and nothing on your schedule. And really so much work. And I think anybody who works, especially during this pandemic, is like, you do it literally on the toilet sometimes, right? Like you do it wherever you get the time and the space. And it's very humanizing to hear you speak about that because I have spent a lot of time writing things in my car and doing work in very weird places.
Yeah, we romanticize writing so much that it feels like almost impossible to do it unless you have – that's such a huge block of – right? That's a huge roadblock of for writers, I think, is like imagining that there's this ideal scenario to write when obviously there's not even if you were at a big wooden desk with the birds chirping, that would be the exact moment that you couldn't think a single thought you've ever thought in your life. So you have to take the moments where you get them.
Can we talk a little bit about the act of poetry as self-care? I'm curious if it's at all self-care for you to write and write the work that you do, because as a reader and a fan of your work, I have found it extremely important to healing myself, quite frankly, and to feeling less alone, especially during such an isolating time. Do you find that as well as the writer of your work, or, and also how does it feel to receive people who find, you know, escape and care in your work?
As for readers, I'm so honored, and that feels like, you know, what a goal accomplished to have people find solace in what you write. For me, it's like the opposite of self-care as far as my mental health. Sitting down to write poems about Chads is like the worst thing you could possibly do for your mental health. But I mean, the act of taking the time and treating writing seriously and having it as a career, that is certainly self-care. I got pregnant accidentally with unplanned pregnancy, the fourth baby, and was really depressed. And it was just a really difficult time. And after I had him and was kind of trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to do this? How am I still going to be a person and have a fourth newborn breastfeed for the fourth time? It really set me back, and I just really had to change my life in order to kind of survive that. And that felt like self-care, and in that was writing, for sure. And that's how What Kind of Woman was born, and so much came from that. But the actual book, second book, I Hope This Finds You Well, it was very depressing to write and was the opposite of self-care. But in general, the career and taking the time to do that was absolutely necessary. Yeah.
Let's talk about this book, because you take emails and messages and also public written work, like pieces by, you know, something Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez read on the House floor after a confrontation with a really shitty fellow representative, or you took some of Donald Trump's words. And you mentioned Chad, obviously, and you turn these into poems and really beautiful works of art. What has that been like, that experience, and what kind of emotions does it bring up for you? I mean, the Donald Trump one especially, like I just reread it recently before talking to you today, and it got me like choked up and very I don't know, it hit me again in a different way.
Yeah, those ones you're mentioning specifically, they were cathartic because, I mean, I was writing this in real time when a lot of these things were happening. He was still in office. There was such emotion happening at that time. So it felt good. But I definitely had moments that did not feel cathartic at all. Instead, it felt awful. Especially when I was reading through messages about other people, about another race, about another kind of person that's not just about me, but coming at me for advocating, for example, for police reform or for transgender rights, those to me did not feel cathartic. They did not feel good to write. We actually had to throw a bunch out because it didn't feel okay. And so, yeah, those ones weren't as fun. I'm saying that in quotes, as fun. Now, Donald Trump, those were a little bit more fun to write, only because I feel like we were all feeling this together. And those other ones just felt really gross. And I felt very alone in them. And like, what does this mean for humankind, basically, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I mean, It's interesting too, because I feel like now you're getting messages from people. I think I saw one of these on your Instagram where people are like, you'll probably turn this into a poem.
Right. Yes, I saw that too.
Let me just like unleash all this vitriol on you. And it's like, so you're aware of what you're doing.
Right.
And there's some like weird ego thing going on with them where they like want you to, like they want to get this reaction out of you. I don't know. How do you kind of handle that with the people who are reading your work and, you know, following you on Instagram?
Yeah. I mean, I like to say I'm no longer taking submissions. Like, no need to send right. me a bunch of hate mail. I don't want it. I'm not going to write another book of these. Keep it to yourself. At this point, I'm like, can you use better nouns? You know, so many I have to throw out. I mean, 99% of that kind of message I can't use because there's not enough verbs and nouns and it doesn't. There's nothing there to work with. Mm-hmm. When I get a nice long one, I'm like, at least I have some things to work with. When they're short and rude, I'm like, delete, can't use this. I don't, right. I don't need this. So in that, when I kind of turn on that mindset, it's less personal. I'm like, oh, this is just content for me. Mm. Especially when I was, writing the book and kind of like going back through my old blog comments and like just looking at different things. I was just scanning for nouns and verbs and then it became a more technical process. Yeah. Like I said, the ones that were about me, they're hard to read, but I'm also like, I don't care. I don't care what you think about my body. I don't, you know,
yeah.
Who are you? And you know, but the ones about other people were the ones that were harder to read.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
All right, we are back.
Kate Bayer, you said, I was reading an interview with you where from before your first book came out, and you said that you didn't know why moms weren't rioting in the streets. Ugh. And I feel like, if anything, it's gotten worse in the sense that, like, we thought paid leave was coming. It probably isn't. Like, what do you think it will take for this country to respect the work that moms do? Do you think that will ever happen?
I mean, I wish the answer was if we did ride in the streets, something would happen. I'm not sure if that would do anything. I don't know what that answer is. I wish that I knew. I wish that all of us knew what that was. It's so frustrating. It's so incredibly frustrating. I'm not really surprised it hasn't happened in this administration, but it's still very sad. It's our country takes so long to change things, you know, education is another one. There's so many things. Healthcare, I think it's so complicated and so nuanced. And I want to be part of that conversation and to understand it more. And on the other hand, I'm like, can you just fix this? Can you just fix this for women? It's ridiculous. It's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. And I guess on that note, like, how do you find hope or feel hope? Like, where does hope come from for you? Because you capture, I think, like the discouraging, rage-inducing state of things. But there's always like a real persistent element to your work. And like, just like there's always that glimmer of like, fuck yeah, we're going to keep going. And so I'm like, what is that for you? Like, where do you find that in your day-to-day?
I think by imagining the alternative, because the alternative to that is feeling hopeless, which is a really horrible way to live. I think we probably all know people. I'm picturing the SNL skit, Debbie Downer. Mm-hmm. Isn't that her name?
Yeah. Yeah.
We all know people like that, and we can all be that person for sure, myself included. And I think just the alternative of constantly having that mindset and being down about everything. It's just, what a waste of a life to live like that. Mm. I'd like to say something like in the smiles of my children, but really I have to, they're such a Debbie Downer, asking me for snacks all the time. I mean, they do have a joy that is contagious at times, but I think just imagining the alternative of just saying, well, I guess this is just how things are. I guess this is just how men talk to women is so sad that I would rather kind of look the other way. And this is coming from, I am not an eternal optimist. I am not an Enneagram 3. I'm not walking around like a golden retriever puppy. It takes a lot for me to feel hope, but I do what I can.
What is your Enneagram number? Do you know? Are you an Enneagram person?
I am an Enneagram person. I am the worst number after 8. I'm a 4, which is the worst.
Is 4 the worst?
I think they're the worst.
Remind me what 4 is.
Sad, poets, dramatic, have to feel their feelings.
Ah, the individualist.
Oh, yeah. Those kind of people are so annoying to me. And I can think of some like celebrity ones and all of those people. I'm just like, I don't want to be like you. And yet I am. It's probably why they annoy me so much. not going to name names, but there's just some people that have a public persona that are this number that I'm like, oh crap. Okay.
And here you are.
I guess I'm like them.
Well, I'm looking on the Enneagram Institute's website. So, you know, the gold standard, I guess. And they describe the individualist as the sensitive, withdrawn type, expressive, dramatic, self-absorbed, and temperamental.
See? Do you want to know that person?
Well, I mean, I feel like we need those people because, like, poets, I think, are often described in this way, right? Like, sensitive, yeah. Dramatic, expressive, like...
Sure.
I think, you know, we need people like you. So, and I,
yeah,
I,
and there's
I like
also
you.
Healthy, there's also healthy and unhealthy of all numbers. Yeah. So the totally. Unhealthy 4 is that talk about a Debbie Downer. That's an unhealthy 4. I think that, you know, got to do our best. There's unhealthy and healthy of all numbers. So,
oh, yeah. I'm a 2, and there's a mess in there. There's a lot to work through in the 2s.
What's the biggest downfall of the 2?
Oh, I'm a people pleaser. That's the biggest thing is people pleasing, which is an exhausting way to live your life. Like, yeah. I'm so deferential to other people in a way that, like, I almost lie in order to make other people feel better. I mean, I've had to really unravel this with a lot of mental health work, but like, woof. Can I ask you about this, Kate? Cause you get referred to as a quote, an Instagram poet a lot.
And oh, yeah.
I'm wondering, if how you feel about that moniker and if there isn't a bit of a gendered thing going on here, like attacking the word Instagram in front of poet, is it a put down? Is it a compliment? Like, what do you make of that?
Yeah. Well, first I was called mommy blogger for a long time. So I was kind of used to like a label that is passive aggressively mean. It used to really bother me. I've let it go because I am a poet who is on Instagram. So I guess I've been called such worse things in my life. In third grade, Mike Parker called me Miss Piggy's ugly stepsister. So I feel like if I could withstand Mike Parker, nice. The biggest jack of all time, I can withstand Instagram poet. I would not call myself that. I would call myself someone who knows how to market their poetry on Instagram. If you give a preview of the work, people want to buy your book. If you don't, why would someone just blindly pick up your book? So you could also call me good at marketing.
I was reading that your mom was a teacher and your dad was a Christian radio host when you were growing up. And I'm wondering if that has had any influence on you and your work as an adult.
Yes, but not how you might imagine. My dad worked at a meatpacking plant for the first 13 years of my life, actually, and had always wanted to be in radio. I'd wanted it so badly. I was working terrible hours, and then it worked out that he was able to be a DJ on a Christian radio station, and then ended up being the manager, and now is the vice president. And
wow,
I remember a huge change in our family when that happened, and it wasn't because of money. It certainly doesn't pay a lot. It was because of how happy he was, and seeing him realize his dream and do what he actually wanted to do, and how sometimes it takes time to get there, but it's so worth the payoff. I mean, it's so cheesy, but seeing that made such an impact on me. And it wasn't because he was sitting down with me every night and being like, if you keep working hard, it was just watching him be able to do what he had always wanted to do ever since he was a little boy, recording all these fake radio shows on his little cassette player. And then watching him live out that dream made such a huge impact on me. So yes, in that way it did.
Oh, I love that so much. That's like truly inspiring.
He's an inspiring guy.
Kate, how do you recommend people who want to dabble in writing poetry, not even to get published necessarily, but just as an act of something to do for themselves, how do you get back into it? Because I will say, like, I wrote very bad poetry when I was in college also. No, maybe it wasn't bad. I wrote amazing poetry. But the thought of sitting down and writing a poem now feels daunting. Like, I don't
so
even
scary.
Quite... Yes, it feels very terrifying. Dory, I don't know when the last time was that you wrote a poem.
I have not... Poetry was not ever my medium.
So...
Like, so, I mean, maybe first grade, like, I it really was not a thing for me.
So then what would be, like, what advice do you have for people who, like, want to but are already talking themselves out of it, as we are often want to do?
That's a great question. I had always thought of a poet as, like, a grad student smoking a pipe, walking around, you know, Venice, with a trust fund, probably. I mean, whatever, you know. But I kind of had this image of what a poet looked like for so long, and did everything but poetry up until a few years ago. I avoided it like the plague because I thought you had to be a specific kind of person. And then Mary Oliver died, and I started rereading a lot of her books, and she was kind of a gateway to, like, oh, there's, like, I'd read poetry, but I wasn't reading it every day, and I started reading it every day. And that is my suggestion. Once I started reading it on a consistent basis, the cadence and the language and the way we tell a story, it just started to be part of me. And I realized this is always what I was supposed to do, if that makes sense. I know that sounds, again, that sounds really cheesy, but that kind of boiled down storytelling has always spoke to me. And I just went for it. And, So my suggestion would be to read as much as you can. And I think that's kind of the suggestion for doing anything new, is to absorb as much as you can, read as much poetry as you can, read it out loud. It is hugely helpful.
Kate, on Instagram, on the G-Thanks Instagram, you and I had a little exchange because you asked if you should bring your vibrator to our recording. And I said yes. And we've not talked about it yet. So is that something you want to mention?
I'm happy to talk about my vibrator. I was on G Thanks and talked about my Garden Witch overalls, which people really love. And I, you know, started a friendship with Caroline. And we just have been chatting after that podcast aired for a few months, and then randomly one night I got high, and I don't know about you guys, but I start to feel really friendly under the influence of anything. And I was texting her and I said, I have actually another great product to recommend to you. it's my vibrator. And she was really jazzed to come talk, to have me come talk about it. So, yeah, that was what that was in reference to, because I think it was under a picture of overalls. And I wanted to remind everyone that I've actually recommended two products, both life changing, just for different reasons.
You contain multitudes.
So for the benefit of our listeners, what is this magical vibrator?
It's called the magic wand. You plug it into the wall. That is, I just want to say that up front. You plug it in. I know that sounds crazy. I know it sounds like it would not be great. I promise you, you want to plug it into the wall. And I also want to say that with some practice, you will meet Jesus. You will meet Jesus. That is what I'll say. This chorus of angels will sing and he will appear unto you. Yes.
This is the magic wand, like the Hitachi original.
The Hitachi original. The one, magic
like the one
wand.
That's in Sex and the City.
Absolutely. I promise you, it is the best. And I have other ones. I've tested many other products. This one will never let you down.
Now, this was also featured. I don't know if you follow Turtle Creek Lane also on Instagram.
When that happened, so many people sent it to me. And I was like, I don't follow her, but I was like, there it is. I have that same one plugged. My bedroom doesn't look like that, but that's exactly what I have next to my bed. It made her so relatable. I love it. I love that it happened.
I did. I know. I loved it too.
I don't know if it was like a purposeful posing of the item, but.
Yeah.
It was perfect, though.
Lots of theories.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've not tried a magic wand, so maybe I need to gift this to myself for Christmas.
I think you should gift it to yourself for what holiday are we on? Thanksgiving? Arbor Day? I don't know what holiday we're on, but... I think you deserve it for Veterans Day. It feels right.
A Veterans Day vibrator.
A Veterans Day vibrator.
A Veterans Day vibe.
Yes, a Veterans Day vibe.
I mean, you did start this. We did start by discussing vibes at the top of this episode. You literally said you liked our vibe, and we said we
like
yours.
I like your vibe, and I want you to like my vibe.
Literally like your vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will literally... My vibe will change your life, I promise. I want you to send me a text after...
Multiple orgasms. Okay.
And you can just say, I saw Jesus appear to me. Yes.
Well, Kate, this has been so much fun to get to talk to you. We're so grateful to have you on, and we both admire your work so much. Your first book is What Kind of Woman? And your second book of poems, I Hope This Finds You Well, is out now. It has been out for a day. Kate, where can our listeners find you? I mean, I guess most importantly, your social media platform of choice is Instagram. Where are you on there, and where else can people find your work?
I am Kate J. Bear on Instagram and all social medias, although I'm not on them as much. You can find me there. I have a website. I have a very baby virgin Substack that I maybe will never use. But you can find me on all the places that you find people. And I'm so thrilled and honored to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. Kate and Dory.
All right. Thank you so much. What a joy it was to get to talk to her.
I know. I'm curious. Did you ever write poetry like as a teen?
No. Did we talk about this?
Oh, yeah. We did talk about this. But you've never written, like, you never even wrote like a poem, like nothing. It's just never were drawn to it.
I think there's like, you know, poems that I wrote in like second grade of like rhyming couplets about the weather. You know what I mean?
Right. But not like when you were like got your heart broken and you wrote a poem.
No, that was never
on the internet.
That was never my medium. I was more of a like angsty journal person, but not poetry.
I definitely have some very embarrassing poems that I wrote in my journal, and then also that I shared
in an AOL poetry forum for fish
fans.
Oh,
hello.
Poetry for fish fans, Dory. That's where I was around the ages of 18.
Oh, that is niche and yet so on brand.
Like, of course I was in a fish poetry forum sharing my poems about my college boyfriend. Oh,
that's beautiful.
Well, you know, the last time we did intentions, yours was, quote, nature and cold. I'm trying to remember what that was.
That was the retreat we went on.
Oh, my God. That's right. Oh, boy. You were intent on enjoying nature and the cold air.
And I did.
I know. You were like abuzz with enjoyment.
I was. I feel a little bad saying that.
No, I had a good time until I broke my hand.
Oh, yeah, because your intention was to be gentle with yourself post-witnessing trauma and enjoy being in nature with my friends. Oh, God.
Well, because as mentioned, I had a traumatic experience witnessing someone fall and die at a fish show. And then I was I'll work on that. I went to therapy with it about it. And I'll just go to nature and I'll journal. And then, of course, you know, then I broke my hand. But, you know, life comes at you fast. You never know which way it's going to go.
Life comes at you fast. It's true.
So I'm so sorry. We're so in sync that we keep talking over
each other. I know. I was just going to say this week, I need to focus on some writing stuff. And
pleasure writing, like writing, not writing a freelance assignment, but just stuff that you're working on.
Not writing a freelance assignment. The freelance assignment that I was working on is almost closed. It's in fact checking. So it's almost out of my hands. There's just a couple tweaks, but it's mostly done. So I don't need to worry about that. And we don't have a newsletter this week. We don't have, I don't have other stuff. And I have some, stuff for the book project that I'm sort of trying to get off the ground that I need to get done this week.
I mean, I do want to quote, when you finished your last book, you were like, I'm never writing a book again.
And I modified it to say that I was never writing another memoir.
Good, because I was like, you have to keep, I need you to write more books. The world needs you. And I'm so glad you have something brewing.
Do they?
Yes, we
There's a lot of books.
There are a lot of books, but there's only one Dory Shafrir.
Oh, that's true. Well, there's only one Kate Spencer.
Well, that's true. And my intention this week is to do all my physical therapy exercises that I'm supposed to do at home, which is a lot. And also it makes my stomach curl because I can barely move my hand. And so for some reason, do you know when you move your body and it makes you physically nauseous? Do you know that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm relearning how to use my right hand. And I can't make a fist. I can't do anything with it. So I have to do all these kind of very basic exercises. And I really, if I want to get better, I have to do them 3 times a day. So it's a lot of physical therapy work, but I am really trying to stick to it. I really want to heal.
I really want you to heal.
Well, thank you. And I do feel like most of the time when I go to physical therapy, I'm very lazy about doing the home exercises. So...
Like sometimes this is just going to be an aside, but sometimes you have an injury or something you're doing physical therapy for that, it's not impeding your day-to-day life necessarily.
Right.
And so you're I know I should work on this, but I don't know. I have other things to do. But with your hand, it's in your face all the time.
Literally. Yes.
So, yeah. All right. I like this for you.
Well, thank you. I like this for me too. And, I also like you.
Oh, I like you too.
And, I'll just let everybody know that this show, Forever 35, is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Sam Reed is our project manager. Our network partner is Acast. And we thank you for listening.
Bye.